For quite some time, it seemed to me that the fundamental theme of our scriptures, of the lectionary, have been a call, an invitation for you and I to be intentional disciples. And it is my prayer and my hope that none of us here this evening in this church think that somehow we have already arrived at being the disciples Jesus calls us to be, or that somehow we have an excuse. Maybe I'm too old, or I'm too young, or I'm too whatever, to somehow care anymore about being the disciple that Jesus calls for all of us to be. But in the last couple weeks, I think there has been a fundamental shift in the scriptures here today. And along with the rise, it seems that shift is for you and I to live this discipleship by embracing the many social justice issues that you and I face day in and day out as a planet, as a country, and as a church. And also, too, may I say, for you and I not to lead with our politics first, but to deal with these very complex issues as believers, as followers of Jesus Christ first, and let that inform our politics. And last week we talked about those people in our world who they would consider themselves outcasts to us, those ones who would never walk through that door back there because they believe certainly we will reject them. And if we reject them in their minds, that means that God would reject them. So I'd like to continue that theme a little bit, if I may, as a way of trying to somehow comment on this remarkable little parable that Jesus tells today. And always remember, in these parables, there's sort of kind of a twist, always that makes it different than we thought originally the parable was really about. Now, what I'd like to do with today, begin by telling you a story, but actually really not a story. I want to share with you a letter. It was a letter written to a 16-year-old girl. Her name is Jennifer Sullivan. It was on the occasion of her birthday in 1980. And it was written to her by her aunt. Her aunt was named Ida Ford, and she was a missionary in El Salvador back in 1980. And I just want to read part of the letter to you. And the letter goes like this. I want to say something to you, and I wish I were there to talk to you because sometimes letters, and I added emails, texts, Twitters, don't get across the meaning and feeling, but I'm going to give it a try anyway. What I want to say, some of it isn't jolly birthday talk, but it's real. Yesterday, I stood looking down at a 16-year-old who had been killed a few hours earlier. I know a lot of kids, even younger, who have been killed. The reasons why so many people are being killed is quite complex. Yet there are a few very simple, clear strands. One is that many people have found a meaning to their lives, to sacrifice, to struggle, to be persistent in justice, even to death, whether they are 16, 60, or 90. For them, their life has had a purpose. And in many ways, they are fortunate people. And may I add, they are persistent in living this meaning of their lives. What I'm saying is, I hope you come to find that which gives meaning, purpose to your life. Something worth living for. Something worth dying for. Something that energizes you, enthuses you, enables you to keep moving forward. I can't tell you what it might be. That's for you to discover and to love in your life. I can only encourage you to start looking, and I can support you in your search. I hope this doesn't sound like some kind of sermon because I don't mean it like that. But this is my birthday present to you. If it doesn't make sense right now, keep this. Read it sometime in the future. Maybe it will become clear for you. A compelling letter, I think, from someone who has found the meaning and the purpose of her life. And she has found that meaning in seeking justice by a persistent service to the poor. And she would not be deterred. And I think it's important for us to hear from people like that. But for that Christmas, there was no letter coming from aunt to niece that year, because in December of that year, Ida Ford was raped and murdered by members of the military in El Salvador, along with three other American women. Their names were Jean Donovan, Dorothy Kazel, and Maura Clark. Their day-to-day lives were serving the poor and the outcast among them. They would deliver food, medical supplies. They would try to comfort the people who were grieving the loss of a relative who had simply just disappeared. And Maura Clark, one of the other ones, right before they died, wrote this: "If we leave the people when they suffer the cross, how credible is our word to them? The church's role is to accompany those who suffer these injustices the most, to witness to the hope of the resurrection." Rather powerful words that I offer you here tonight as a beginning. And I would like to use those words to now talk a little bit about that parable, that gospel today. And remember, there's this always this unexpected twist in the gospel. And you heard the story. There is this proud judge who fears neither God nor man, and he refuses to offer justice to this poor widow who pleads from him, but she persists, and he gives in, and it says he's afraid of her. He doesn't offer her justice because it's the right thing to do. He says he's going to offer her justice because she's going to whack him with her purse. And the same back, if Jesus would have told that story back then, they would have laughed just like that. Because, and then there's going to be all these people like me giving homilies, they're going to say, God is just like this judge, and you and I are supposed to be like this widow who's supposed to be persistent in our prayer, because if we are, God will eventually give in to you. Now, I think it's kind of a strange proposition to think of this judge as being like God. Doesn't the Bible say the Lord hears the cry of the poor? Doesn't the Bible say that God longs to grant the favors to those who plead from him? And twice in the gospel today, it says he isn't even like God. He doesn't respect human beings. He doesn't even care about what God thinks at all. So do we really want to say that if we badger God, that the gospel is about this, that we badger God enough, that somehow, somewhere along the way, he's going to give in and give us what we want? Do we really want to say that somehow, like this clod of a judge, is going to give in to this woman because she's going to whack him with her purse, that somehow the God's going to give in to all of us? Is that really what the gospel is about for us? Or is it about something else? So here is the unexpected twist. Is it possible? I think it's very possible that the one who is really like God here is the widow and not the judge at all. Here is a person who is determined to resist injustice, a person who names it, who faces it, who denounces injustice, a person who burns for justice herself. And isn't God like that? Isn't that what God does? To somehow, like Jesus on the cross, like Jesus, you know, surrendering himself on the cross, achieving justice that way, persistent in it, like in Ida Clark, or in Ida Ford, Maura Clark, Jean Donovan, or Dorothy Kazel, like all of those. So I'm saying that the gospel really isn't just about somehow us trying to get a God who really doesn't want to give us what we want, but if we threaten him enough, somehow he will. But really the gospel's more about you and I becoming like God ourselves, seeking truth, seeking justice, being persistent in all of that, especially, most especially, for the poor and the outcast among us. So given Arise this year, or this week, I want to offer you a few questions for you to ponder tonight. And we're going to put these on an email for you, these questions, so you can ponder these in your small groups or however you're participating in Arise these days. And here's a couple questions that I would like to ask all of you here this morning, given our gospel today. If you were to write a letter to a 16-year-old in your world, what would you offer that would give hope, meaning, and purpose to that 16-year-old? Ida Ford and others went through El Salvador. You don't need to do that. You can do all these things right here. How are you personally called to be like those women and like that widow in the gospel today in your world and in my world? And finally this, how does your meaning and purpose in life meet the needs and concerns of all the people around you? How does your meaning and your purpose in life meet the needs and concerns of people around you? Let me close with a little story that maybe, hopefully, will try to make the point. In South Africa, as you know, there was recently the abolition of apartheid. Thank God for all of that. And before that, there was this movement of the people that they were going to put these lit candles in the windows as a sign of hope to abolish apartheid. And so these candles that people would put in their windows was really a sign of hope for them, a sign of possibility of justice in the midst of all their injustice. And eventually the government down there in South Africa became so threatened by these lit candles in the window that they outlawed them. They wouldn't let people do it anymore. And children would make jokes about the government who was afraid of lit candles. Now, thank God, apartheid has been abolished. And I would say to all of you that those little lit candles in those windows were part of what happened that would abolish apartheid in South Africa in those days. So here's my question for all of you. Maybe my question for me. What are the lit candles in our world, given our concerns, the injustice around us, the poverty around us, the outcasts around us? What are our lit candles? What are our weapons, our Christ-like weapons, that we are using these days against injustice? I hope one of them, certainly, is persistence.